preaching on Jesus preparing a place for us this morning. And you know, isn't it exciting about that place? And it can never be taken away. Amen. It can never be, never decay, never get old. Things now get old. I was watching the New York Yankees play today, and they got rid of their old stadium because it was getting breaking down. But you know, in heaven, nothing's going to get decayed. And I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about this, Brother Mike. I was thinking about all, Josh, I was thinking about all those people that work for the motor companies, like for Chevrolet and Chrysler and Ford. You know, they got all their retirements. And right now, we don't really know. I mean, they had that for years. They planned for that retirement. And I'm praying that everything will work out. But folks, you know, we're not 100% sure that if they ever go under, there might be people that are getting pensions right now. And I'm not trying to put a fear in nobody. But that's, you know, nothing in this life is surety. I mean, people have planned for retirement. And a lot of the 401ks and the stocks and different things, securities, they're all gone. You know, nothing in this life is sure other than Christ.
Amen.
And I was reading that the other day, and I was going to bring it out this morning. I forgot to do it, Rod. You know, we might lose things in here in this life. But Brother Mike, it's so great. What God gives us will never be taken away. It's a surety. And if things go bad, people will be breaking in homes and taking what you have. But up there, no one will be breaking in. Isn't that exciting? Man, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Because heaven's secure and safe. And it's for eternity. Isn't that exciting? And that's why no wonder the Bible says, "Cease ye for man whose breath is in his nostrils, wherein is he to be accounted," of Isaiah 2:22. Because you can't trust man. You know, all these people put their money in pensions and stuff, and they've invested. Some people lost millions of dollars. One man stole billions of dollars from people. And I'm just glad that Jesus, when he tells us something, it's true. And so, all right, we're going to talk to you about Noah right now. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6. And let's look at verses 8 through 17. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Good to see you tonight. Try to send Annie Saylor a card this week. Good for you, David. Look at verse 8. How many of you got Genesis 6, verse 8? "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I'm going to tell you right now, Noah lived in the most wicked time there ever was. I'm going to tell you right now, in the days of Noah, people were as wicked or more wicked than, it's kind of like what it is right now, with all the evil thoughts and everything. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Boy, I'd like to, what a statement. How many would like to have that say about you? They walked with God on your gravestone, or he walked with God, or someone say, what do you know about that man or that one? They walked with God. What a testimony. Amen. "Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Wow. Kind of reminds me of today. "God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark." Hey, Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms that thou shalt make in the ark, that thou shalt pitch it within and without pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window thou shalt make to the ark, and in a cubic thou shalt finish it above. And the door, that I circled that, the door, ark had one door. The door of the ark shall set thee in the side thereof, with lower and second and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of the waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that's in the earth shall die. That wasn't just a flood in a secluded place. That was a worldwide flood. And everybody died outside of, other than Noah, his wife, and their three sons and their wives. Eight people survived. Eight's a type of salvation, new beginning. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for the precious word of God. And you put this in my heart. And I just pray that I could be a blessing tonight. Fill my mind with all the thoughts I need to say. And Lord, bless these folks for coming back. I know it's easy sometimes just to stay home, but Lord, thank you for faithful people that come back. And I just pray you'll bless them, encourage their life, and watch over them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. If you'll even look at verse 5 and 6 of Genesis 6, look at verse 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Man got so bad that God repented that he made man. That's pretty bad, isn't it? I mean, mankind was so wicked, God repented he made man. And then in verse 14, God tells Noah to build an ark so he and his family can escape the wrath and judgment that he was going to bring upon the world. Well, we're going to take a few minutes and talk about this ark. Of course, the ark was a type of Christ. Safety in the ark, there's safety in Christ. But a cubit in the Old Testament was a measurement of, like, we think, right around 18 inches. So 18 inches, that's 1.5 feet. So when you look at verse 14, and verse 15 or 16, when it gives the measurements of 15, 300 cubits, that'd be 300, and that's 18 inches. So the ark was 450 feet long. It was 450 feet long. 50 cubits, that'd be 75 feet. So it was 75 feet wide. By the way, a football field's 300. So that's 1.5 football fields. The length, that's a pretty good boat, isn't it? That's pretty big, isn't it? 450 feet. 450 and 75 feet wide. I'm thinking you men, probably from this wall to that wall, is probably close to 75 feet, I think. So it's about the width of our building here. And then it was 45 feet high, 30 cubic. That's 45 feet, 18 times 30, 18 inches. So that's the measurements of the ark. I'm going to show you some more things. So you got a vessel that's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. That's why he had three stories. Hello? And that's a pretty big ship, isn't it? Especially when one guy is doing all the building. Now, he had some sons to help him and carry the stuff, but that's a pretty big project. He didn't, you know, they didn't have Black and Decker and what's those real good stuff? Craftsman and what was it? Yeah, they didn't have D-bolts back then. They, you know, he didn't have no power tools, and everything was all by manual labor. Of course, God gave him 120 years to do it. He said he had plenty of time to build it. But I'll tell you right now, that was a pretty big project. And so I want to. By the way, I've studied a little bit about that. They said that the capacity, they estimate the capacity of that ark could carry about 20,000 tons. That's a lot of tonnage. They said, Brother Mike, if you on the space in that ark, think, how many of you have ever seen a railroad car? They said, Brother Billy, they said that if the space in that ark, you'd have like 522 railroad cars. Like all of a sudden, how much could you put in 522 railroad cars? That's how much you could put in that ark. They say that today, they say there's around 17,600 species of animals. Now, we know Noah took two of everything and some of seven of others and the good clean stuff. But they estimate there might have, Noah might have had 45,000. Now, everything's, we don't know because it doesn't say. We're just guessing. You know what I'm saying? But he could have 45,000 different species in there. Wouldn't that be something? You say, well, how could he feed them all? Well, I think God could have put them to sleep like hibernation, like a bear sleeps. Hello? I don't know. Because, Eddie, I don't know how. I think if you had that many things running around, I think he'd be rocking the boat. And I want to share a few things with you. I'm going to share some more about the ark with you tonight. And I'm going to give you some couple little spiritual truths. You've probably heard them before, but it's good. Maybe some, this will, look at chapter 8 and verse 4. When the ark landed on Mount Ararat. Yeah, Ararat. Look at 8:4. And the ark, how many got Genesis 8:4? And the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day on the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And that's over in Turkey. And the word Ararat means high level. And it's the highest thing around, amen? And that's where they landed. High ground, it means high ground. But I want to share some things with you now. Let's talk about this ark. Go back to Genesis 6. We know that the ark is a type and picture of Jesus Christ, of salvation. We know that only Jesus Christ can save. The ark didn't save, as far as it didn't save spiritually, but it saved physically. But it did save people from the eternal wrath, right? It saved them from the wrath of God at that time. And by the way, only Christ can save anyone from the eternal wrath. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ your Savior, you want to escape the eternal wrath of God, you got to run to that one who can save you, which is Christ. You got to run into the ark of safety, which is Christ. I want us to look and glean some spiritual truths about the ark. There are several great truths about the scripture, about the ark, and I want to give you like four or five of them tonight. Number one, if you'll notice, there was only one ark. There was only one ark. And there's only one Savior. Everyone who entered into that ark had to come through that one door. Did you notice that? No, I'm ahead of myself. No. There was only one ark, and there's only one Savior. There's no other way to flee. They didn't have they didn't build a bunch of arks. Like, they didn't have a fleet of them. There was only one. There was only one. And there was only one provision for their safety. There was only one provision that could bring them salvation from the wrath of God. One. And God's got one. See, there was no work. There was nothing they could do other than believe God to get in that ark. Are you with me? No other work or means could save them. Even though they didn't believe Noah's message, it did not change the truth. The ark was their only hope. You know, a lot of people don't believe us now. It doesn't change the truth. I witnessed to a guy the other day. He said, I don't believe in heaven. I said, still don't change it. Heaven's still there, hell's still there. You know, just because we don't believe it don't mean it's not there. There's people say they don't believe it, there's a God, but he's still there. You know? And even though they didn't believe it, didn't change. Today, Jesus is the only hope for mankind. Acts 4:12 says, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Number two, not only was there only one ark, the provision of the ark was all planned by God, not man. The ark was all planned by God. Man didn't have nothing to do with the planning. You know, that was God's plan, God, for God's purpose. Man had nothing to do with it. You know, Jesus was all God's plan, for all God's purpose. When you think about it, don't turn to it. I'm just going to quote Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. And it goes on to redeem us. Jesus was born for one reason. It was God's plan. Mary just didn't happen to say, well, I think I'll have a baby. I think I'll have a virgin birth. No, it was all God's plan. The birth, the death, the resurrection was all God's plan. You know, people ought to take note about God's plan. Amen. 1 Peter, stay there in Genesis, but let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 1. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Talks about in verse 18 through 20. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver, gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Who can say amen about that precious blood? And as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Man, I'm glad that was all God's plan, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You know, when we read and study all this, we have to realize something. Nothing just happened to happen. Everything that took place was God's planning. You know, God's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for my life. We need to walk with him so we see his plan. Amen? And then, so number one, there was only one ark. And there was only one Savior. Number two, the provision of the ark was all planned by God. And salvation is all planned by God for Christ. Number three, there was only one door. We're going to have fun here. There was only one door in the ark. Everyone that came in that ark had to go through that one door. There was no other way to get in that ark through other than that one door. Are you still with me? I mean, to get in or to get out had to come in by that one door. You know, there's no other way to in the entrance of heaven except that one door. That door of Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 7 and 9, I am the door. He over and over, he says, I am the door. And he's the doorway to heaven. You know, a lot of people they think religion gets into heaven. They think, my little grandson got baptized. That baptism didn't save Lukey. He trusted the Lord as a Savior. You don't get to heaven by getting baptized. You get to heaven by putting your faith in Christ and coming through that door that God's... See, God's made a way for everyone to enter heaven. He's got a doorway to heaven. And that doorway is called Jesus. And all that will take Jesus as their Savior, they get in the door of heaven. People say, well, I'm going to try it some other way. Well, I'm going to do some other religion. Or I'm going to work my way or earn my way. No, you're not. You're either... Those people in that ark, Brother Josh, the only reason they were safe was because they went through that door. And those that mocked that door and those that scoffed it and those that refused it, they lost out. And I understand they had never seen it rain. Genesis 2:5 says that God watered the ground. 2:5 of Genesis said that he had a mist come up from the ground. Those folks had never seen a storm cloud. But it doesn't matter. You don't have to understand it. You just need to believe. When God says something, that settles it. It doesn't matter if I understand or not. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to show you something about that, about them getting in there, though. If you'll notice in Genesis chapter 7, is it? I've got it written down here. Look at Genesis 7:11. See if I have that right. Now watch this. You want to know how long Noah was in the ark? Let me show you. How many have chapter 7, verse 11? In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. How many see that? Okay, now I'm going to show you. Now, let me tell you everything before you say, oh, hold on, preacher. So I'm going to write something down. Bobby, it was the 600th year, right, Bob? Right? And what month was it? Second month, right? And what day was it, David? 17th day, right? Now, remember, in the Old Testament, God always worked 30 days to a calendar. Every month was 30 days. Okay? Now watch. Don't give up on me yet. Then look at chapter 8 and look at verse 13 and 14. And it came to pass in the 601st year. Are you in chapter 8? In the first month of the first day of the first month, where the waters dried up from the earth, but Noah removed the covering of the ark. And look, behold, the face of the ground was dry. Now watch verse 14. In the second month, on the 27th day, and we know it was the 601st year because we read that in verse 13. How many are with me? So, it was the 601st year, the second month, right? And what day did it say there? 27th. Now watch. Hold on. Don't say nothing yet. So we know by looking at that, just by looking at that, it's 1 year and 10 days. Are you still with me? Now wait. That's 1 year and 10 days. But now wait. Hold on. 1 year, 10 days. But I don't know if that's all. Go back to chapter 7. Look at verse 4. Because I think he might have gotten there 7 days before the rain came. Chapter 7, verse 4. Yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth. How many see that? And look at verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters were upon the earth. Now, and look at verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days. Do you see verse 10? How many see verse 10 of chapter 7? It doesn't do, you know, there's nothing wrong about learning some stuff in the Bible. I think it's great to learn things in the Bible. Only thing is, I taught, when I was at Bible college, I showed Dr. Brooke this. And boy, don't show your teacher up. It's really bad when you do that. He didn't appreciate that too much. So I believe if you count the other seven, they were in the ark for 1 year, 1 year, 17 days. That's how long. Now, if someone wanted to say it was in 1 year and 10 days, they could say it, but they're wrong. I'm not going to argue with people. When you're right, you don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter anyways if it's 1 year or 2 years. Or but he was, if you really want to be a Bible scholar and you want to study your Bible, he was in there for 1 year and 17 days, he and his wife and the three sons. So that's how long Noah was in that ark. I was just in that house for like 2 or 3 weeks. I went buggy. I mean, Josh, he didn't go to Cracker Barrel for 1 year and 17 days. I don't know how he made it. Maybe they had some take-home service. I don't know. Maybe they dropped it down through that window. I don't know. Brother Mike, when you take Cracker Barrel for me and Josh, that's fighting business now. I haven't been there for about a month. They probably thought I left the country. How many are still with me? And so we see that there was only one door in the ark. And there's only one door to heaven. And Jesus said that in John chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. I'm the door. There's only one door, folks. By the way, well, does that mean if I'm Muslim, does that mean I don't go to heaven? It means if you believe what they're teaching, you don't go to heaven. By the way, you could be a Baptist and not go to heaven. I don't care what denomination you are. It's all faith in Christ. You put your faith in Buddha, you're going to hell. You put your faith in Muhammad, you're going to hell. You put your faith in Allah, you're going to hell. You put your faith in the Baptist church, you're going to hell. you put your faith in water baptism, you're going to hell. There's some people that believe that when they get baptized, all their sins are washed away. There's only one door to heaven. Some people think by taking the Lord's Supper or doing some kind of praying, over, lighting candles and praying over beads, get them to heaven. There ain't no beads that can get you to heaven. I'm not trying to make fun of people, but it's just the truth. You want to, truth sets people free. And only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus. No other way. And did you know something about that door also? I noted here. Look at, note, Genesis 7, verse 16. And how many see Genesis chapter 7, verse 16? And they went in. And went in, male and female. God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. I want you to think about that. The Lord shut him in. You see, Noah had no control over that door. God opened it. God closed it. Did you hear what I said? I'm sure that people, can you imagine when that rain was falling? That people were beating? Can you imagine the first 7 days he was in there, nothing happened? And they were out there having a party. Hey, Noah. Hey, Noah. Ha, 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 Noah. Then when the rain started to fall, how many believe there might have been people beating on there? Noah, I've changed my mind. Let us in. They were screaming. They were begging. They were no doubt doing everything they could. They might even have tried to beat on that door. Tried to break it open. But only God could open that door. See, that's the way to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven, and God has control of that door. He's the doorkeeper of heaven. Amen? Can you imagine how bad Noah felt? Hearing those pleas of those people and had nothing he could do. You know what, folks? When we go up, when we leave this earth, there's going to be people pleading not to go to hell. But we have no control over it anymore. We better do something while the door's still open. Right. See, while we've got control to try to get people in, we better do all we can to get them in. Because once the door closes, that's it. No turning back. And then, by the way, it says in Revelation 3:7, if you were taking notes, God, no one can open the door. Revelation 3:7, Scripture says no one can open it unless God closes it. No one can, it cannot, I'm going to read, instead of botching it up, I'm going to read 3:7. I've had trouble quoting today. 3:7 of Revelation. Angel said, angel of Church of Philadelphia, write these things, said the he that's holy, he that's true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. How many see that? I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door. And they had an open door for 120 years while God gave Noah time to build, and he preached it, but no one believed him. And so when the door closed, they were done for. Then, number four, the safety of the ark was offered to all people. I like that. Only 8 people got in, but how many people had an opportunity to come in? All people. Everybody had a chance. Everyone has a chance to be saved, just like Jesus. How many see the comparison between Christ and the ark? Today, the Bible teaches, whosoever will may come. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, Revelation 22:17 says, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You know, I'm glad that God opens up to everyone. Everyone has a chance. No one can say, I didn't deserve to go to hell. I never got a chance to go. Oh, yes, you did. All people, even, I don't care where they live. Look up here. I won't preach too much longer. Everyone in the world, you that took Romans know what I'm going to teach you right now. Everyone, I don't care who they are and where they live, they have a chance to be saved. Because the Bible says in Titus 2:11, the grace of God which appeared to all men, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And here's how it's appeared. 2 ways. God sent 2 preachers. One, Every person is born with a God conscience that God is. You're born with a God conscience. Everyone is, from birth. That's why little kids look up and say, where's God? There's what Dr. Brooks used to call, little dome light, little light, the little light in your heart. It's a conscience. And if you don't reject Christ, the more you come, the brighter the light until finally you see Christ. But if you say, no, I don't want it, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5:19 or something like that, 39, says if that light be in you, if that light that be in you be darkened, how great is the darkness? Might be chapter 6 of Matthew. But anyways, what I'm saying is every person has a God conscience that God is. And if you don't resist that, that's how come I got saved. I used to walk out of that bar, Brother Mike. God, I know you're up there. God, there's got to be more to life. See, but even though I was doing all kinds of bad things, Coolidge, I didn't deny the existence of God. And because I didn't exist, because I didn't deny him, Jack, he kept the light on for me. Kind of like Motel 6, huh? Kept the light on. He kept the light on because I always believed there was a God. Wasn't saved. You don't know God till you know Christ is your Savior, because He and God are one. You have to have Christ to know God. You gotta know God, you gotta know Christ. And then when I asked Christ to save me, I get Jesus, but I got God. Isn't that cool? And I got the Holy Spirit too, because He came in me. 3 in 1. Amen. So you have a God conscience. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, but without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you have people seek God, if they really seek him, they'll find him. So like those people in the darkest jungles and far out remote areas, you say, how can they get saved? If they don't darken that light that God conscious, and they keep saying, where are you, God? And there's testimonies, missionaries coming in the places of remote, and they say, tell us about God. We've been praying for God to have someone come and tell us about him. Then the second witness, there's two witnesses that God conscious that you're born with. I know you're born with a fallen spirit too, by the way, fallen nature, but you're also born with a God conscious that God is. And the second thing is the creation. The firmament declares the glory of God. When you look up and see all them stars, if you don't see a creator, duh, you're walking in the tulips with Tiny Tim. I mean, anyone that denies the creation, the handiwork of God is everywhere you go. I mean, you look at the great mountains and all, the world's spectacular. And why does the sun stay where it's at? Why doesn't the moon hit the earth? And why is everything in perfect orbit? Why is everything just working perfect? Because there's a great creator. And anyone believes evolution, it just happened by accident. Man, if you believe that, I'm going to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. It's for sale. If you want to buy it, I'll sell it to you. I'll write you the title tonight. I'll sell it to you for $150. It's tough days now. I'll take $150 for it. I'll even write Brooklyn Bridge and make a picture. Have Tippy Brook write a picture of the Brooklyn, and I'll give it to you. Sign it. $150. You can just steal today. Just today, though. Tomorrow it's going to be $200. That's as crazy as someone believing there's not a creator. The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Just the human body, the way we're made up. You kids are in the field of medicine stuff. Just the way our body's made up, and all the blood vessels and cells and all everything, man. I mean, how everything works, our heart beating, and everything working in perfect thing. Even me. God's even got mine working, amen? As much as I abused it, he still got it. I mean, that's pretty good workmanship. He makes you two the same way. And so, God says the creation speaks of a creator. And the God conscience that God is, it says there's a creator. And if people will take that light that God gives Isn't it amazing? When Paul got saved in Acts 9 on the Damascus road, what did he see? A bright light. See, Jesus is the light of the world. Now, when I get saved, Eddie, I didn't see a bright light. But what I did get, I got light. I got truth that I was a lost sinner. And I got truth, Katie, that I needed Christ as my Savior. And that was light from heaven. That I couldn't get to heaven without Christ. That's true light. Amen? So, we thank God for the salvation He's provided for all people. All people. And by the way, number five, all people. Not only was all people had the opportunity, but all people needed salvation. Not only were they all people were offered the ark, all people needed it, Brother Bill. There was not one person on that earth that didn't need that ark. And there's not one person on this earth now that doesn't need Jesus. And then number six, getting into the ark was a required faith. It required faith. Look, let me read to you Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read to you about Noah in verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. It took faith to believe that. It took faith to get inside that ark. Hello? It took faith to believe and build. When God, see, it what happened was this, Stella. Faith, he acted, get this, Noah's faith was prompted by God's word. See, God wants us to move. When we hear his word, he wants us to act with faith upon his spoken word to us. And Brother Kativer, Noah didn't understand it all, but he acted on faith, just on God's spoken word. You don't have to understand it. You just need to say, okay, God, you said it, that settles it, I'll do it. And then, lastly, by the way, Jesus said, people must believe in God's word on him too. John 3:3, you must be born again. Marvel not, verse 5, I say you must be born again. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. It takes faith to believe that. Then number 7, Noah, the builder of the ark, his name means rest. Noah's name, Noah, means rest. Interesting, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me and I will give you rest. And then lastly, Jesus said, and would you turn to it with me? Matthew chapter 4, last point. In Matthew chapter 24, I'm having trouble seeing because these glasses do not do me well, and it's affecting a lot of things because I can't see. Matthew chapter 24. But pretty soon I'll be getting a brand new pair that can cover everything. Matthew 24:37. Look what Jesus said. Number 8, Jesus said that the sign of his second coming would be like Noah's day. Look what it says in verse 37 of Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And so, what's one of the signs? Jesus said, study about Noah. It's going to be like when Noah's day. Well, one thing we read, Brother Mike, about Noah's day, people's hearts were on evil continually. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid to even turn the news on anymore. Turn the radio on, read a paper. People killing their own children. Violence everywhere. You know, I don't watch it very often, usually when I'm remote and skipping through the commercials. at Channel 838, Channel 38 a lot of times puts people that are in prison on there. Woo. Did you ever see those people inside prisons? It's scary. Those maximum prisons. Those people are dangerous. How did they get there? Their life wavered from God and His Word. We're living in a day where I can say this without any reservation, and I know the silver-haired people would back me up on this. We that have got silver hair, we remember days when we were younger and there was not this kind of violence. You didn't have to have police and metal detectors in schools. We never did lock our door. There was never no violence like there. I mean, folks, if you don't think there's violence out there today, you ain't left the block here for a long time. This is like Mayberry here. This is about the closest getting maybe you can get. But it's violent out there, I'm telling you. And we live in a good little community here. Don't take this little community for granted. But we still have violence in here. And the sex predators. There's a lot of sex predators. Watch your children. You listen to this preacher. The sex predators are constantly going up. I'm not trying to scare the children, but I'm trying to, you adults need to keep a watchful eye for your children. I am always watching my babies on this property. Always. Because it's alarming what's going on in this country. And not just this country. It's America's not as bad as some other countries. And drugs and pornography. I mean, folks, it's just one thing after another. Carl, you're my senior. But I'm going to tell you, Mac, you and I and Mary, when we were younger, it was not like this when we were younger. I'll quit. I'm probably boring you guys. I told Rosie this yesterday. The other day, Ruthie, I actually fear when my babies are playing. I sit right at that. You don't understand. A lot of times, I sit right at my kitchen table, and I look out. I wish that garage was torn down. We ever buy that prop tearing that garage so I can see all the way over here. I get shut out, Mike. I can't, but I can see out in the front here. And I told Rosie, you know, when I was a kid, like Jimmy's age, Jimbo. How old are you, Jimmy? I used to be your age. You're better looking than I was, though. But you're pretty fast. But Preacher was really fast when he was a kid. I'd have liked to race you then. I can't now. I would get up in the morning. I'm not lying to you. I would get up in the morning, 7, 8 o'clock, and eat a bowl of oatmeal or Cheerios or whatever we had, you know. Special K or Tricks or whatever we had. And corn, I can't remember, Sugar Pops or something like that. Tony the Tiger. I'd have something. Frosted Flakes. And I would be out of my house by 9 o'clock, 9:30 every morning. I would go to the park. And Bud, I would play baseball all day long. Till it got so dark we couldn't see the ball. I would get mad. Now, you're not going to believe this, but I'm really telling you the truth. I'm not preaching now. I would get mad at kids and even almost threaten them because they'd get hungry and want to go home for lunch. But I just wanted to keep playing ball. I love baseball, man. I ain't kidding you. And I could play, and I could play football, too. I could run people over. I loved it. I really did love that. It was fun. It's a mentality block, isn't there? But I told Rosie, my poor mom, even though she knew I was at the park, I'd be gone for hours and come home. A lot of times my mom would have to send my dad at nighttime to make me come home. Do you realize if one of my babies We're gone for more than an hour now. I mean, Katie, they're not getting out of my eyesight. Don't tell me he hasn't changed. Mike, when we were kids, Mike, I hitchhiked all around the country. I know you, because you're a little younger than me, but still, you were in that air. I'd go downtown, Josh, as a young, just a little bit older than Jimmy. I'd run around downtown, like Austin. Oh, my, don't you do it. Because I was back with Ben Franklin. It was a lot bit different time. We'd go out, Andy, I'd get on, my mom would give me money for the bus, and so I kept the money to buy stuff down and buy stuff, you know. You'd put your thumb out and make the first or second car. They'd pick me. They'd say, where are you going? I said, I'm going down to the boys' club downtown. Okay, I'll drop you down in here. Okay, great, thank you. We always said thank you. Yes, sir, no, sir.
That's right.
By the way. I mean, do you realize, don't you ever get in the car? I mean, perfect strangers. Picture pre-Trump. It took me all over the place. Do you think you could do that now?
No.
I mean, when I think, Brother Jack, of what I had when I was a kid, these poor children don't. The younger ones know we had a great childhood, and we didn't. I actually played kick the can. We didn't have those computers and iPods and everything you kids got. We didn't have that. They weren't even invented yet. Yes,
right.
We went down the marsh. I wrecked some suede shoes that my mom bought me. Like my dad let me realize that was the wrong thing to do. We made rafts, and we'd go in the pond. We'd fish at the river. We ran through. We made spears and chuck things, you know. And we just had a blast. I'm telling you right now, I had a tremendous childhood, and then God saved me. And I've got to preach for 29 years. You tell me I ain't had it good. Isn't that exciting? Man, if I died today, buddy, don't cry for me, buddy. I've had a blast. And you poor kids will never understand the joy that preacher and some of these seniors had. We used to play a thing called hide and seek. At nighttime.
Yes.
You're right, Brother Mike.
At.
I mean, I know Betty and John, they know what I'm talking about. Yes. Grandma, the older folks know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I mean, we literally had so much fun. Grandma, on garbage day, I used to have a big bike. I used to peddle papers, had a big, huge basket. But the people always put their pop bottles out. And I'm just a little bit older than Jimmy. I'd get my bike. And I'd run around up and down those alleys, and I would be putting all them pop bottles in the people's doorway so I could take them to the store and get money. So I could buy candy to bring my sugar up. We had so much fun. We had so, there wasn't filth. You couldn't. Even though we had black and white TVs, they didn't have TV. Preacher actually lived when they didn't have TVs, but after a while, they did have them. And then they had black and whites and big, huge TV. They weighed 500 pounds, little screen like that. Yeah, and the one guy had to hold the antennas with aluminum foil, and you couldn't move. You took turns holding it so you'd get the picture in. I mean, remember that?
I do.
Oh, those are the good old days.
Skipping rocks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
We had more fun. And you know what, Bud? We never once entered about getting hurt. Nowadays, you have to fear for not only the children, but people even hurting the senior citizens and other people. We live in a violent world. It's changed. Jesus said, you want to know one of the signs of my coming back? Just study about Noah's day. And one thing that stood out about Noah's day, it was violent and evil and wicked. And there were giants too, by the way. Just remember I told you that. You're going to start seeing them pretty soon. But anyways, that ark was placed by God. Aren't you glad he placed Jesus, our ark? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to run into the ark of safety. And Jesus is the ark of safety. And anything outside of Jesus, there's no safety. Anything outside of the ark, outside of Christ, there's no hope. All the people died that were on the outside of the ark. You've got to get in the ark. The Bible says in Ephesians that we're in Christ. We're in Christ. He put us in, he's in us. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the ark. Thank you for the ark of Christ that really saves eternally. Lord, I pray with all my heart that every person in this building would know for sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven. I pray if there'd be any here tonight that wouldn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they would see, dear God, it's not religion. It's not living a good life. It's not being something special. It's knowing that they're a lost sinner and that there's only one hope, and that hope is through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for them, shed his blood, and arose that third day according to the Scriptures. And by faith, receiving him. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, there was a day in my life I saw myself a lost sinner going to hell. I realized that I was not going to make it to heaven without Christ, and I ran into the ark of Christ. I've trusted him as my Savior. Could you just say, I'm saved and I know it. I know I'm saved. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. May put him down. Maybe there'd be some tonight say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm really not sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. And I sure don't want to miss out on heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. And I realize tonight, for the first time in my life, that there's only one way to heaven. And that's through that door. The door of Jesus Christ. He's the only way I can get to heaven. Pray for me. I want Jesus as my Savior. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. And I'd sure like to know for sure when I die, I'd go to heaven. Oh, the Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. You might, you know, those men and women put it off. Then the flood came. They changed their mind, but it was too late. Once you die without Christ, you're going to end up in the flames of hell. I don't believe there's a hell. Don't change it. It's still there. And you'll say, well, I'll change my... No, you won't change your mind. It's sealed forever. Just like their destiny was sealed on the outside of that ark forever, your destiny will be sealed forever if you don't get inside the ark of Christ. Father, help us to understand the importance of being inside that ark, the ark of Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse of invitation. Maybe you got a friend or a family member that's not saved. Why don't you come and pray for them? Oh, time's running out. Someone you know needs to be saved. You got to get them in the ark. You got to go talk to them with passion, with concern, with love, with tears. Paul said, he said in Acts, he said, I didn't, for a space of 3 years, day and night, I didn't cease to warn people with tears. Brother David talked about people not crying anymore. We don't cry for souls anymore. We don't care. Our heart's too cold. Sing a verse, brother.